following podcast is edited from the live Voices of Montana program, Montana's original statewide radio talk show that's heard Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The show has been airing for more than 20 years, and it wouldn't be possible without our local radio affiliates. Contact your local radio station if you'd like to hear the program live in your area, and it's currently not available. The show is also streamed live on voicesofmontana.com. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program, inviting you to contact us with comments or show ideas. The email address is studio@voicesofmontana.com.
Energy in transition, isn't it so? In Montana's coal-rich economy is in decline because of this. Some would call it a rush to renewables. Some would say, you know, we all want, and we do want, clean, affordable, and reliable energy. But all three of those don't just automatically happen because you write a law, as well-intentioned as it may be. Energy in Transition highlights our show today as the battle for Colstrip Unit 4. It either gets complicated or it has been terminated. We'll talk about it today on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Spooky Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, a man who loves his candy corn, it's Tom Schultz.
Who doesn't love candy corn? I can tell by what you pulled up here on YouTube, Josh, is that you want to play Monster Mash today.
I mean, just a little bit of Monster Mash, because everybody loves Bobby Pickett.
Nobody knows who Bobby Pickett is.
Oh, come on.
But everybody does love the Monster Mash a little bit.
In the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his lab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
I know, we're going to have to play that later on, too. Because we got some serious business to talk about today, but first of all, the obligatory, I think every broadcaster has to say that don't forget to fall back this weekend, all right? I mean, it is an obligation for every DJ across every state and in fact, in every country to say something to that effect, and it's not like we forget that, but okay, that's what's going to happen this weekend. Hey, thank you all for being here, 22 years strong, that's two decades working on three. I'm Tom Schultz for Voices of Montana, that objective perspective. We'll get right into this today. Later on, I am going to talk a little bit about ACB and that confirmation. Been trying to get that off my plate here for a couple of days, and we'll get to that as we open up the phones later on. But first, this was in the news this morning, and it came out yesterday afternoon that Northwestern Energy has terminated the sale of Colstrip Unit 4, the energy share of Puget Sound's portion of Colstrip 4. And we're going to talk with John Hines, who's the Vice President of Energy Supply and Montana Government Affairs for Northwestern Energy, to talk about this deal. Good morning, John. How's it going?
Well, I'll have to admit that I haven't smiled until you played the Monster Mash. It's been a very disappointing last couple of days as we had to make this decision.
Well, and it's a tough one. Why don't you just start off with why you felt it was best to terminate this deal as opposed to continue to maybe make it work?
Yeah. Well, I think there's three main reasons. And again, it wasn't just Northwestern terminating Puget. We agreed with Puget to terminate the transaction. First reason I would mention is that the Washington Public Service Commission staff filed a very critical testimony on this transaction. And they were very critical. Their main theme was that this deal was too good for Montana. And kind of in support of that, remember that Talon, once we negotiated the deal, came in and was able to acquire half of the transaction that we exercised, kind of buttressing that this was a really good deal for Montana. Second, both Puget and Northwestern needed regulatory support to get go down this path with the transaction. And there was no support in the regulatory environment really for this transaction. The environmentalists were all against it. They were a big group of folks who intervened. And then the Montana Consumer Council disappointingly said that they felt we should just rely on market purchases to serve our customers going forward. And then three, The Montana Public Service Commission has been more punitive, financially punitive, towards Northwestern than the Washington or Oregon Public Service Commissions have been towards its regulated utilities. And the decision Tuesday by this commission in Montana to disallow another $9.5 million of costs made the risk too big for our utility to buy even more of that. And one of the themes that the staff made when they were arguing for this disallowance was that any future forced outage, in other words, any time the plant went down in an unplanned manner, our costs associated with that would be deemed imprudent. And frankly, mechanical stuff breaks. I don't care whether it's a wind plant, a solar plant, a gas plant, even cars and bicycles, they all break at times. And so these financial attacks created basically the termination as the only realistic outcome. And frankly, I think it's consistent with the MPSC direction. They've had the last three cases that we've had before them, they've been more punitive towards Northwestern than any of the out-of-state utilities have been towards their utilities.
John, I've got to take an early break here, but there's a lot to unpack in that. And we'll come back and talk about the conflict that it's too good for Montana that on one side and then not good enough for Montana on the other side. It seems I'm confused by it. John Hines is with us. We'll come on back and talk more about our energy in transition here on Voices of Montana. Just a bit. Back to the drawing board or not for Colstrip Unit 4 as we look at our energy needs across Montana and the inland Northwest, in fact, the entire Northwest. I'm Tom Schultz back here at Voices of Montana. I'm looking at a report here from the Northwest Power Pool, which is a conglomeration, an association of a lot of energy industries, and they're talking about, as they look ahead, the region may begin to experience capacity shortages in the near future. And by the mid-2020s, the region may face a capacity deficit of thousands of megawatts. You know, when we talk about energy, planning is the key. John Hines is with us, Vice President of Energy Supply and Montana Government Affairs for Northwestern Energy, and a big part of his job is planning. Tough to plan, John, when this process, I think, has become very, very political. But let's go back and talk about how one group can see it as too good a deal for Montana, and then another group can see it as not good enough a deal for Montana. Or maybe I'm simplifying that too much.
No, I think you hit the nail right on the head, and it's very frustrating. I'm not apologetic. I believe we negotiated a very good deal for our customers, and that's what we want. This deal was about providing our customers with a really good capacity resource. It's unfortunate that people, I believe, they just don't want either Northwestern to own any generation, or they don't want any more Colstrip. In fact, they want to probably shut down Colstrip. They were opposed to this transaction in Montana. And, you know, I think the merits of the deal will continue to stand into the future. It's just that the obstacles, the regulatory obstacles, and the fact that Washington is becoming more clear that they want to dictate what our energy resources do. Those are what are the driving forces.
And maybe we should back up just a little bit here and explain this Colstrip Unit 4 deal. A lot of it comes about because of mandates from the Washington legislature to remove coal as a source of energy for people in the state of Washington.
That's exactly right. So we've got three utilities. Three out of the six entities that own shares in Colstrip are regulated by the Washington Utility Commission or also dictated to by their statutes. The statute says that they have to be basically out of Colstrip by 2025. So we took that as an opportunity for Montana to have a better say in its energy future by acquiring more of the Colstrip that Puget Sound Energy owns. So we would have bought all of their ownership share in Unit 4. It was the cheapest way for us to acquire necessary capacity. Our customers weren't going to be saddled with any additional environmental costs. Our rates were initially going to be zero increase. And our customers would have been receiving payments from Puget from a purchase power purchase agreement that would have also gone forward to paying down future environmental costs. And there's another example of the irony. The Washington staff said that they didn't like their customers being exposed to 45 megawatts of power priced at the market. Meanwhile, we have a consumer council saying that's the path we should take, and we have probably 360, 370 megawatts at market. And it's certainly strange.
And that's the point to make, too, that maybe we'll save that for a bit later, regarding the consumer council and their recommending market price purchases, which is what has caused this large PCAM adjustment to be so large, I think, because there's just not going to be enough. And everybody's going to be vying for the same market energy. It's just rising up the cost there. But I wanted to talk about this edict or this mandate from the Washington legislature. Is it just on paper, say, do this, or do they provide any other guidance as to how to get it done? Because like I said, we all want clean, we all want affordable, we all want reliable, but it just doesn't happen because somebody puts that down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you mentioned a report by the Northwest Power Pool talking about a growing capacity crisis. And, you know, people can argue, well, that's just a theoretical thing. Well, guess what happened this summer? California was the first state to actually experience blackouts, and they are supposedly in the forefront of moving toward these renewables. And the experts down there said, whoa, maybe we're going a little bit too fast. Meanwhile, Washington utilities are having to abide by their state laws, and they're going down the same path. So terminating, closing coal plants, and building intermittent generation to replace it, and it just doesn't add up.
Can we remove politics from this equation here? I mean, is there an effort to do that?
I would really like for that to occur. I mean, again, I believe if you look at the transaction purely on its own merits, this deal made incredible sense. Unfortunately, as you noted, you used the P word, politics have trumped that, and people are using any avenue possible to get what they want, what they see as the correct political outcome, including closing of Colstrip.
We'll continue here with John Hines from Northwestern Energy in just a bit on Voices of Montana. We have to talk about going forward here for Northwestern Energy and the Montana Public Service Commission when it comes to Unit 4. That sale has been terminated in agreement with Puget Sound. John Hines is with us from Northwestern Energy. I just want to remind people, and I was going to do this before the break but ran out of time, let's not forget that the cost of unreliable energy is high, and it's not affordable. And in fact, if we go back to around the turn of the century, 2000, 2002, when we had sort of a crisis when it came to the cost of energy, that essentially kind of shut down the aluminum smelter industry in Montana and across the West. And so there was a lot of good-paying jobs, especially in northwestern Montana. Folks up in the Kalispell region will remember that is part of the problem that we're facing here if we try to rush into renewables. Now, that not having enough renewable energy at that time was not part of the problem, but unreliable energy was a part of that problem. Hey, John, thank you for, again, being here. So the question is, what does happen next? What's the process going forward here? Because I know that you guys have identified a shortage. I'm not sure exactly what that number is now in terms of your capacity. So what do you guys do next?
Great question. We're a little bit frustrated right now. We're still trying to internalize the fact that we had to terminate this great deal for Montanans. In 2017, you know, we were one of the first utilities to recognize the consequences in this shortage, and we went out for basically we call it a request for proposal, trying to acquire more generation through a competitive bidding process. The Montana Public Service Commission made us shut that process down. We've gone out for short-term competitive solicitation in the last couple months, and we were not able to receive as the amount that we wanted to have. And now we have another competitive solicitation that's out there. And I'm we have to be able to execute on that. And it's there's going to be resources that people won't like, I'm sure, regardless of what we end up having as the lowest cost resources. But if our commission chooses not to move forward on that, there's really the only short-term reaction is that we have to be buying power from the market. And, you know, maybe the state of Montana needs to voice what it thinks is the proper energy policy. Is it appropriate for Northwestern Energy to own generation? A lot of people in this last case argued that it wasn't. Is it appropriate for thermal generation to still be, new thermal generation to be part of our resource portfolio? In other words, having a balanced approach. A lot of people don't think that's the appropriate path. So maybe the state of Montana has to step up and provide a little bit more direction as to what they think a reasonable path forward is, as opposed to certain interest groups or the Consumer Council or the commission staff.
Well, I guess you got to be careful what you wish for there.
Well, I know that this isn't working now.
What's the argument that an energy company not owning their own generation is good for consumers?
The argument is that the people who are selling the power then are responsible for outages and things like that. The argument that I believe strongly in is, first of all, those parties who are in that position, they're earning 20 to 30% every year on their investment. Northwestern's earning about 9%. So right off the bat, customers are paying less profit to Northwestern versus other groups, and so it's a lower cost resource. Second, just like a home mortgage, as you pay down your mortgage, your home has more and more value. It's the same thing with the way utility accounting works. As we pay down our investment in a resource, there's more value for our customers. That doesn't occur on a privately owned generation resource. So all in, it's a better deal for customers. And the commission continues to have oversight of these resources if we own them. They don't have oversight if someone else owns them.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. We've got actually a text message that has just come in here. And a caller. Can you stay on for just a little bit, John?
I'd be happy to.
Oh, thank you. John Hines is with us, a Bobcat, native of Bozeman, Montana, but he's also a Grizz, as he received his education from the University of Montana. I know I've asked you this before, but are you a Bobcat or are you a Grizz?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Nice one. Vice President of Energy Supply and Montana Government Affairs for Northwestern Energy. We'll grab some headlines from Don Elliott and be right back.
With Montana News Headlines, I'm Don Elliott. Police say a 20-year-old man died of hypothermia after he went missing last weekend in Sluice Boxes State Park. The death of Brendan Rollins was accidental. Rollins' body was found Sunday in the bottom of a ravine in the park. Trump administration officials Thursday stripped Endangered Species Act protections for gray wolves in most of the U.S. The U.S. Department of Interior announcement could lead to resumption of wolf hunts in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. A Kalispell man was convicted by a Gallatin County jury for raping a woman while she was drunk and unconscious. In March 2019, a woman told police that Shelby Ragner sexually assaulted her after a night of drinking downtown with friends. The woman said she woke up on a couch to Ragner sexually assaulting her. She then passed out. Zoo Montana's gray wolf pack is now officially doubled in size. You can now meet Onyx. Onyx is a six-month-old gray wolf from Rapid City, South Dakota.
All right, back more with John Hines, Vice President of Energy Supply and Montana Government Affairs for Northwestern Energy. They provide electricity and natural gas to the upper Midwest and Northwest. I think there's some 30,000 customers in Montana, John?
370,000.
And it's not just Montana, but South Dakota and Nebraska too, right?
That's correct. Yep.
And so this text message, and Ron, stand by from our caller on the line here, but this text message is, why is it that Northwestern Energy's plan was applauded in South Dakota, but the Montana PSC hated it. You might have touched on that just a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's frustrating to us. Basically, it's the exact same plan, looking at resources a little bit differently, because we are building and owning generation in South Dakota. In fact, we've now underway three different generation plants in South Dakota. So same plan. Their chairman said it was one of the best plans he's ever seen, and he's spent both a career as managing utilities as well as a chairman of their commission for quite some time. I think it's pointing to a real inconsistent approach to regulation in Montana. And I guess this is a little bit outside of the question, but I want to point out again that the same issues that we face as far as an outage at Colstrip, the other owners of Colstrip face the same thing before their commissions. And it's very clear that over the last 5 years, Montana, Northwestern Energy, has been penalized more by our commission than even the commission in Washington. Very disheartening.
Big 50,000 watt, 1180 AM KOFI in Kalispell listening and calling. Ron, you're on the air with John Hines, and thanks for calling.
Hi, John. John, I've on your natural gas in Maine and Kalispell. I'm, of course, on Flathead Electric, but you're both at electric, so this is a question I have. Why, of usage, and it kind of bothers me, why is both Northwest, you guys, and Flathead Electric pouring so much energy that supposedly is in short supply and will be on bad, you know, as we grow, into one outfit, and that's Bitcoin, both in Missouri area. I'm not sure where else in the state of Montana, but also here in the Flathead. The amount of energy that Bitcoin places use is unbelievable. And yet we say at times we're short of energy. If we're short, we got to go buy energy from somewhere else. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not in Missouri, so I can't. I know they got it down there bad. But up here, they had to build a little, what I call, put in a bunch of, what do they call them, little substation type thing, just to make sure that the little Bitcoin place here on 206 has energy 24 hours a day and it's never interrupted. There's something wrong here, especially when Bitcoin is really non-regulated and can be only really, really used for, well, it could be really used for hiding money and stuff. Why are we allowing so much energy to be bought for that? And it really puts nobody to work.
Thanks, Ron.
I appreciate the answer, Ron.
Ron, yeah, thanks for the question, Ron. And the simple answer is we, Northwestern, do not provide them any electricity. They buy it from other parties. So none of the energy that we use to serve our core customers is going toward that. We do serve them with our transmission lines, but that actually just lowers the cost to all of our customers. The more customers we have, it just changes the amount that we have to charge each customer. So they actually are decreasing your transmission costs, and we are not serving them with any energy.
Ron, does that help?
Yeah, it helps in the sense that Flathead Electric's doing it, but how in the prune juice where do they buy their electricity from?
Yeah, I can't really speak to how Flathead Electric is providing power or not to these customers. I guess that has to be sort of directed towards them, Ron.
Well, it's a lot of megawatts, and high amount. Anyway, thanks for answering my question. I just hope you don't start doing it. I'd like to see Flathead stop. I think it's a wasted resource of energy that we're all going to need eventually. And thanks again for taking my question.
Ron, thank you. John,
thank you.
We're out of time, but I know that we'll circle back on this because it's something that we talk about frequently here. We want clean, affordable, and reliable energy, and it just doesn't happen at the snap of a fingers. Be well, John.
Thank you.